Good morning, it is 11 a.m. and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. First off, Kingston Public Works to host Open House on May 24th. The City of Kingston's Public Works Department is inviting the community to its annual Public Works Day on Saturday, May 24th. The open house will take place at the Public Works headquarters, 701 Division Street, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. This family-friendly event will feature vehicles and machinery from Public Works and other city departments, and partners such as Solid Waste, Engineering, Kingston Transit, Utilities Kingston, and more. There will be hands-on activities and demonstrations, as well as information about many city programs and initiatives. Karen Santucci, Director of Public Works and Solid Waste, states, quote, "We can't wait to open our doors on May 24th and showcase the many roles and responsibilities of public works in Kingston. This event is always well attended by the community and features countless fun family activities and opportunities to learn. All are welcome to come and hear about the work we and our colleagues do around Kingston," end quote. Across Canada and the United States, Public Works Week is observed during the third full week of May to recognize the importance of public works in society. This year it takes place from May 18th to 24th. Kingston Public Works Department oversees a variety of services and programs, including winter operations, road maintenance, parks and sports field maintenance, tree planting and pruning, community cleanups, and more. Parking will be available at the Railway Street entrance at the Public Works property. The Division Street entrance to the property will be closed. In another upcoming event, debunk traffic myths and discover local transportation solutions at the Truth About Traffic. Whether you drive, bike, walk, roll, or ride transit, all are invited to attend the Truth About Traffic, a free presentation on June 5th to challenge common misconceptions about urban traffic and transportation. This evening talk and panel discussion will be led by Brent Tadarian, an internationally recognized leader in sustainable urbanism, city planning, and transportation. The event will explore proven strategies to tackle traffic challenges in growing communities like Kingston and will include a panel discussion to explore effective local solutions for Kingston and the necessary steps to achieve them. Tadarian states, quote, "The goal of the evening is to act as a turning point in the local conversation about transportation and the kind of better solutions we need. That starts with being honest about the kind of things we've been getting wrong," end quote. Event details. The location will be at the Chet Center for Creativity and Learning, Malting Tower, on the third floor, at 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, June 5th. Register to attend the evening talk for free on Eventbrite. Space is limited, and they expect spots to go quickly. The event will also be live-streamed for those who cannot attend in person. Follow along on the event livestream on the City of Kingston YouTube channel. City launches Playground Accessibility Public Engagement. The City of Kingston is launching a new playground accessibility plan and inviting residents to help shape its direction. This plan will guide the equitable development, renovation, and enhancement of the city's playgrounds over the next 10 years. Amy Elgersma, Director of Recreation and Leisure Services, states, quote, "Play is essential to a child's development and the well-being of our communities. With every new playground we build or renovate, we strive to create welcoming, inclusive, and accessible spaces for everyone. The Playground Accessibility Plan will guide us over the next decade to ensure our investments in play are thoughtful, equitable, and responsive to community needs," end quote. An in-person project workshop for the community takes place on June 11th, and an online one is planned for June 12th. Complete workshop and project details are available through the project page on Get Involved Kingston. This is also where you can ask questions and offer feedback as the project moves forward. Public input is important in developing this plan and will occur in various forms throughout the spring, summer, and early fall of 2025. To stay connected and receive updates on future opportunities to provide feedback, visit Get Involved Kingston and follow the project. Once again, what you just heard were updates directly from the City of Kingston this week. In a note from the Kingston General Hospital, temporary closure in place at KGH site main entrance May 26th to 31st. Kingston Health Sciences Center is notifying patients, families, and visitors and staff that the Kid Davies main entrance on Stewart Street at the Kingston General Hospital site will be closed for repairs from May 26th to 31st, 2025.
Please note both the revolving door and the nearby automatic doors will be inaccessible. Vehicles dropping off or picking up patients, visitors, or staff should use the Armstrong entrance. Access to via Lower University Avenue to enter or exit the building. Parking areas and driveway access outside of the main entrance will not be affected. This work is expected to be completed by May 31, 2025, with normal access resuming on June 1, 2025. For additional information about parking locations or to plan your visit to the KGH site, please visit kingstonhsc.ca/visiting-or-attending-khsc/getting-hospital. It was announced on Wednesday that Homegrown Live Music Festival, the annual all-local music festival that took over downtown Kingston on Saturday, May 3rd, achieved record turnout, with over 1,800 attendees, approximately 300 more than the previous record. Homegrown is in support of Joe's Musical Instrument Lending Library, a nonprofit established in honor of Joe Chitlin, a young, beloved musician in Kingston who passed unexpectedly on May 1, 1999. Joe's Mill has 1,300 instruments available for borrowing, fulfilling Joe's vision of giving everyone a chance to learn to play an instrument. The city was fully immersed in the one-day festival with over 145 acts on 17 stages at venues across the city, including more than 400 individual local musicians who donated their time and talents to support the library. Chris Morris, one of the festival organizers, spoke with CFRC about the energy on the day.
You know, to see 400-plus musicians coming out in one day to all volunteer their time, I think that's the kind of energy that hypes up the rest of the community. Like, so many people, and we're lucky that we have these numbers that we can really brag about. So many people are just excited. Oh my God, there was so much music happening all, and it's all in one day. People always ask about, like, you know, let's do another one in the fall or let's make it a whole weekend. But I don't have any more energy in the year than to do it just once. But we keep it all compressed in one day, so there's just this this energy and this vibe of there is music everywhere, and you hear it pouring out of the Caesar Company, and you hear it coming out of the Toucan basement, and you know we've got two bands playing at the same time at the Buckle and at the Mansion and all this stuff. So there's just like, and you see people walking around with guitar cases and amplifiers and drum kits, and it's, you see them crossing Market Square. What, you know, passing each other saying, oh hey, I'm going to play there now, oh you're going to play the Toucan, great. It's that kind of thing, you know. There's just like 400 plus musicians, they're all downtown at the same time for the same cause, and I think that's what the energy is. And the music fans, which, you know, those are the ones that ultimately buy the wristbands and give us the money to make the donation, they love that. Oh my God, I'm going to plot out my whole day. You know, I'm going to go downtown from 1 o'clock until 9 o'clock, and I'm going to see these seven bands. When you see them at a bar stool with a Sharpie highlighting where they're going to go, they should have a map or whatever.
Homegrown is the Mill's largest fundraiser of the year, and this year the community came through with a grand total of $15,400 in donations. Denis LaRue, president of Joe's Mill, spoke about how the donations will support the Mill and by extension the community in an interview with CFRC.
We depend on donations and events like this for us to continue to operate. So $15,000 is about 10% of our budget, which is fantastic. So what we do is we'll use that money towards more instruments, towards our education program. We now go out into schools and provide musical workshops to students. Joe's mantra was always, wouldn't it be great if everybody had the opportunity to play an instrument? And here we are 25 years later, and we are giving that opportunity to everybody, from young kids to old fogies like me who just want to go out and borrow an instrument for $25 a year, and that's just for the library card. You can go out and rent any of the 1,300 instruments that we have. Yes, I did say 1,300 instruments, from sitars to xylophones to drums to stuff like guitars, but we have so many different instruments there. What we hope is that people borrow those instruments and become lifelong players.
Aside from the changing landscape of venues and the new addition of a comedy stage this year, Homegrown has maintained a steady approach since its inception. Chris and Denis reflected on why this year was such a hit.
We haven't really changed Homegrown that much. like we've been doing it almost the exact same way for 17 years. So we just, you know, we try to expand, we have to adapt to the changing landscape, particularly with respect to venues. The musicians are really excited to play. I think that's probably the ultimate factor. I mean, we can do logistics all day long, but if no one wants to see these acts, and if the acts don't help promote the festival, then people aren't going to get that excited, right? So I think I saw a lot of social media posts from bands that were just treating this as a big gig, which is great. Sometimes it's a little surprising because they're playing for free and, you know, it's kind of short set sometimes. So, you know, it's like, oh my God, we are playing Homegrown Live. You must come see us, which is what we want to see. And it's great to see bands that are excited and taking ownership, pride in playing Homegrown and supporting the cause.
People have always loved Homegrown. And I think what happened when COVID hit, we saw a downturn, of course, and it took a few years for Homegrown to get back to what it was before. And I think what's happened now is that people are in the swing of things. Even though it was raining, we got a lot of people out. And I think people just love the fact that you, for $10, you can go and see over 140 artists playing in 15 or so venues. And also that it's for the support of Joe's Mill. Whenever I speak and I talk about Joe's Mill, I get loud applause. I think people think and know what a cool place it is and how cool it is to have a musical instrument library. You just don't see that anywhere else.
Both Chris and Denis also highlighted the increase in youth participation that made this year special.
You know, one thing I was thinking about, because, you know, Homegrown always comes around the anniversary of when Joe Chisholm passed away. Every few years, we actually have Homegrown on the anniversary, but he died May 1st, where I was the first weekend in May, right? So so I was thinking, as I was sort of putting out my annual sort of post about Joe, is that it's been 26 years. And, you know, people my age and older got to see him play and knew him a little bit. But there were so many people that played Homegrown that were like born after Joe passed away, or were far too young to go see Toucan, right? So so that was kind of on my mind a lot this year. And I was really amazed at how many people come out to play for this thing that is his legacy, that is this memorial tribute to him, right? So and people, you know, saying, oh man, like, I wish I would have known him, or it sounds like he was the coolest guy, and he was. so that part of Homegrown, you know, to me this year in particular, was really touching.
Youngsters playing, and the vibe down there was just wonderful, hearing these kids playing music and performing sometimes for the first time was just really cool.
Before we get into more local news, I'm going to turn to our weather and traffic report for today, featuring CFRC's Jesse Bell.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Friday, May 23rd. Another rainy day, third in a row here in the city of Kingston. Cloudy with a 60% chance of showers and a daytime high of 13 degrees, dropping down to 8 overnight. Saturday, May 24th, 14 degrees with a 40% chance of showers. Moving into the end of the weekend, Sunday, May 25th, it is going to be the first bit of sun we see in the city. High of 17 degrees, overnight low of 8. And Monday, May 26th, daytime high of 17 with an overnight low of 8. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with road closures. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Aberdeen Street, William to Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed until May 30th for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cassidy Street, Montreal to Maple is closed until June 6th as part of the ongoing intersection improvements of Montreal and John Counter. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria, is closed until the end of August for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett, is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Woodbine to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes landscaping work on Collins Bay Road. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Expect significant delays on Gardner's Road between the Invista Center and the 401, and on Creekford and Centennial near the Gardens intersection from May 23rd until May 24th at 7 p.m. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Thank you, Jesse. Before we dive into an update on the Kingston Music Strategy from Council this week, we're going to flash back to a story from March 2024, when the city originally hit play on the new music strategy and created the music officer position. City launches new music strategy on a high note. The Kingston Music Strategy is now underway, ushering in a new era for Kingston's vibrant music scene, as the city has partnered with Tourism Kingston to support a new music officer position and is currently recruiting for a music advisory committee. The music strategy has been in development since November of 2022 and was approved by Council in December of 2023. The strategy has four main pillars: cultivate spaces and places, empower and invest in talent, amplify connection and visibility, and bolster city leadership. The new music officer will be in charge of implementing this strategy. The music officer role is an expansion of Tourism Kingston's existing music commissioner position held by Moira DeMorest. DeMorest is a pillar in Kingston's music community, with over 20 years of experience in the music industry as a musician, concert promoter, and educator. As the music officer, she is now working to implement the strategy, supporting Kingston's music industry and acting as a liaison between the city and the music community. To oversee this process, Tourism Kingston and the city are also now seeking community members to join the Kingston Music Advisory Committee. I sat down with DeMorest to chat a bit about her new role and Kingston's music strategy. To get us started, I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the expansion of your current role to now being the music officer.
Of course, yeah. So I started with Tourism Kingston as the music commissioner in 2022. And through that, the idea was really to help to set the groundwork, I guess, for a music office alongside. So Tourism Kingston also houses the film office, the film and media office. And so working alongside the film office really was like a great synergistic opportunity between the two sectors. That's where it started, putting that groundwork and really like working alongside the consultants on the Kingston Music Strategy, which was just passed just before sort of the holiday break at the end of December. And that really sort of officialized everything.
Yeah. And a big part of your new role will be implementing the strategy. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to what's in that document in general.
Yeah, of course. Well, there's so many pieces that are really important, but one piece that's been, I guess, advertised right now is the call for an advisory committee, a Kingston Music Advisory Committee, which will be comprised of a number of music advocates and music sort of stakeholders in the Kingston music scene. So venue owners, you know, a representative from different education pieces of the music education part of the economy. And that will also help to, you know, shape the work plan, help to consult and keep the music office up to date on what's really happening in the world. You know, the music office is right now an office of one, of just of me. So, you know, using this advisory committee as an opportunity to help shape the work will be really important and keep things accountable, keep the music office transparent to the rest of the scene, you know, almost like a, you know, a bit of an open public forum. We need to make sure that we're really consulting and listening to the music scene itself.
Absolutely. And I believe there's a call for folks to join that committee right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. So that call is open until the end of March. March 29th is sort of the deadline. And really, it's just sending a letter of interest to music@tourismkingston.com. Mm-hmm. And all of that that information is available on the Tourism Kingston website and also the City of Kingston website. If you just Google the strategy or mm-hmm. Kingston music strategy, you'll find that. But just sending a letter of interest to just, you know, exploring maybe noting some of the reasons why you might be a good fit for this committee and looking at what the committee's sort of terms of reference are, you know, what we're looking for. We're looking for, you know, like I said, some music venue representatives from high school and post-secondary, things like that. And that's hopefully going to roll out fairly soon.
Awesome. Yeah. I didn't realize that you were going to have such like a wide breadth of people on that committee.
Well, it won't necessarily be, you'll have to be 18 over for mm-hmm. that, but, we will have, you know, a secondary, high school music teacher, represented because, you know, the future of music really is starting at that age, for the Kingston music scene. A lot of bands really start out in high school. I think, mm-hmm. the secondary, high school music scene is really, really important to nurture and make sure that's supported at that stage. You know, we can't wait until a band or a musician is 19 before we start to say, oh, yeah, okay, now it's important to listen to them. We really need to be making sure that there's, you know, that connection to those students and to that group, that audience.
Yeah, definitely. You're like looking to the future, looking forward for the future of Kingston music scene. Very exciting.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are you most excited about kind of stepping into this role?
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. You know, it's such a privilege to be even, you know, to speak with you about it and to be in this role. I'm excited to just be around musicians and continue this work. You know, I've been in the music scene, in Kingston's music scene all my life. And I have, you know, been working in that scene for 23 years. It's kind of hard to believe, but you know, I started at Queen's Music. I, you know, helped co-found a concert promotion company, and I'm really excited to sort of use kind of those pieces that have been emerging, that have been floating around in my brain as a musician, as a music educator, mm-hmm. and as a music arts worker. You know, put those pieces into a little bit of action to see where I can make a little bit of a difference and help to get some more support for artists, help to showcase, help to develop. You know, it's definitely not just a me or my office, but mm-hmm. but working collaboratively with the music community in this role is such an exciting undertaking.
Yeah, really exciting. And like, I mean, Kingston's music scene is just so unique. I find like, even though we're such a small town, quote unquote, it's just booming all the time. There's live music everywhere you look. And yeah, so it's really exciting to have even more of that coming up.
I agree. We for the size of Kingston, we really punch above our weight. You know, mm-hmm. we are on the same level as so many larger cities. You know, mm-hmm. I sit with other music offices in Toronto and Montreal and Ottawa, and, you know, they're looking to Kingston about, like, what's going on there? You know, this is an incubator. This has got, like, great emerging bands. Like, you look around even, you know, at the live sessions and see all the bands that are captured just emerging from Queens and SLC. Mm-hmm. And high school bands are starting to pop up now, too, mm-hmm. that are, you know, really, that's really, really the, you know, the lifeblood, I think, of the continuing music scene is investing in and making sure that we're showcasing that development and offering an incubator for these emerging artists.
The full Kingston music strategy is available on the City of Kingston's website. Community members can learn more about the Kingston Music Advisory Committee on Tourism Kingston's website. And those interested in getting involved can submit a letter of interest to music@tourismkingston.com by March 29th. Once again, that was a flashback to a story in March of last year. At their May 20th meeting, Council reaffirmed their support for the Kingston Music Strategy and unanimously approved an additional $200,000 for Tourism Kingston's music office to continue implementing the strategy. The city hit play on the Municipal Music Strategy in 2024 to bolster a vibrant and sustainable local music scene. With the long list of goals and priorities, including accessible rehearsal space, performance opportunities, mentorship opportunities, and providing a variety of venues to perform in, Tourism Kingston, chiefly its music office, has been leading the charge. Council was presented with a one-year update along with the motion to put additional funding into the initiative. Highlights of the first-year update include the creation of the City Music Officer position, a Kingston Music Advisory Committee to guide the strategy's implementation, 32 workshops held with 1,157 attendees, and 14 events sponsored in 2024, generating an economic impact of $272,439, with 324 artists and bands impacted and 10,747 attendees. As for what comes next, ensuring fair wages for musicians seems to be one of the top priorities. Michael Broadhead, a local musician, spoke before council with a focus on the economic challenges faced by musicians.
I want our scene to be sustainable, and I'm concerned that things like the housing crisis are reaching a point where we cannot sustain things like this anymore. And what I'm seeing is mass burnout of promoters and people in the DIY scene and people leaving Kingston despite the music strategy. Musicians need two things first and foremost, and the degree to which those two things are present in any effort to help musicians to me reflects the degree to which musicians' interests are represented in comparison to other interests around musicians. And those two things are professional standards for pay in any registered business and free or very accessible DIY or space for the DIY scene. If other people are sacrificing their love of the game, the landlord needs to as well. If people are expecting to invest and then make profit off those investments, everybody should be able to make a living. Those are the two standards. And what I see in policy is the more things that aren't those two reflects the more other people would like a policy to not be focusing on those two issues because they don't support their interest. And so my concerns are really that other interests around music can get in and make money off of musicians, while the vast majority of musicians don't see the benefit of that economic development. Musicians' pay can go to zero, and that has effects on social structures and norms. This also inversely means that a price of zero would imply an infinite supply of musical labor, which is not true, but some people treat us like it's the case.
When the floor opened for councillors to discuss the report, Councillor Wendy Steven also expressed a need for more community feedback and fair wage discussion moving forward.
When I read this report, it outlined a lot of really great work, and I couldn't quite figure out, it felt like something was missing. And then it dawned on me that what I was really hoping to see that wasn't in the report this time, that I would really like staff to include next time, is that industry feedback and community voice. So I think our delegation made a really interesting point that the music scene wouldn't exist without musicians. So I feel like we really need to capture their voice along with, as we heard, there's a whole industry around them, right? So all these other different peripheral jobs that are connected to the music. So just a comment to staff, you know, thank you. And I'd really, really like to see that included next time. The second piece I wanted to comment on was that in the report it outlined how fair pay will be explored more in 2025. So again, as indicated by our delegation, fair pay is a really critical piece. And Council Ridge, that's interesting. I didn't realize you were a part of that union. So one of the comments I wanted to make as well is that I'm very curious about the outcomes when it comes to fair pay when working with, I wrote down the name so I could get it right, the Union of Professional Musicians, Local 518. So I really look forward to seeing where that goes.
The city's director of arts and culture services, Danica Lockhead, confirmed that setting standards in this department will be a priority heading into the next year of the strategy.
I think just to the fair wage discussion, you know, the music strategy does include a strategic action to develop a fair wage policy for the city of Kingston, but that will really look at, that will come back to council and will really look at mandating a fair wage for musicians for all city of Kingston sponsored events. You know, City of Kingston partner events, but I think more broadly to sort of also act as a tool to advocate sector-wide, community-wide, for the value of paying musicians a fair wage. The city doesn't have necessarily the mandate to, you know, to mandate fair wage elsewhere, but we do have the capacity to lead by example and bring into policy this fair wage and hopefully encourage others to do the same.
Council unanimously approved the additional funding, paving the way for more progress from the Music Office in 2025, all part of shaping the soundtrack to life in Kingston. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. To listen on the go or hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.